From the KTUO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with a local and statewide news update. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan made a surprise appearance at the Juneau Assembly's meeting on Monday night. Alaska's junior Republican senator discussed what he and the federal government have gotten done so far in response to the pandemic.
Through legislation, it was trying to get resources, as many resources as we could, to our fellow Alaskans through different legislation, the CARES Act being the biggest one, but there was three different bills that we passed prior to that.
The CARES Act is the federal law that sent more than $1 billion in pandemic relief money to the state of Alaska, much of which was passed on to municipal governments. It's paying for everything from first responders' salaries to business loans and grants, and in the case of Skagway, $1,000 direct payments to residents. Sullivan took credit for carving out $300 million specifically for fishermen within the CARES Act. He said he helped negotiate the $8 billion commitment to tribes in the CARES Act, and after the law passed, he said he's been leaning on the Treasury Department, which is running the distribution of the relief money to accommodate Alaska-specific issues.
This legislation that we passed wasn't perfect. Certain entities that needed to be covered weren't, and some that were covered probably didn't need to be, but overall, we're trying to tweak that, continue to work it.
For example, he said employers' eligibility for Paycheck Protection Program relief was initially tied to their most recent payroll. In the spring, that severely limited summer seasonal businesses that hadn't ramped up yet. Sullivan said he worked directly with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, so seasonal businesses can use past season's payroll as a basis for the eligibility for the program. Going forward, Sullivan says he has a bill pending with bipartisan support called the Coronavirus Relief Fund Flexibility Act. The bill would let state and local governments use CARES Act money to replace lost revenue. As it stands, governments generally can only spend CARES Act money on direct response to and relief from the pandemic. They generally can't spend it on regular government operations, which rely on tax revenue hurt by the pandemic. Sullivan said he'd also look into extending the end-of-the-year deadline for spending CARES Act money.
What you don't want to have people do is, like, rush spending, which would be stupid.
Sullivan repeatedly urged constituents to reach out to his local office for help working through federal programs.
If you have problems, if your constituent didn't get their relief check, a fisherman thinks he's eligible for the stabilization fund, if there's tribal community or Alaska Native Corp that hasn't been able to benefit anyone, send them my way. We've been doing tons of casework and have had a lot of success.
Congress is on its 4th of July recess. The senator was physically in Juneau, though the assembly continues to meet by video conference. Congress resumes its session in Washington, D.C. next week. Getting COVID-19 test results in Ketchikan could get a lot faster. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough took the first steps towards acquiring a large-scale rapid testing machine for the community.
Right now, most testing in Ketchikan requires a swab to be sent to labs in the lower 48. Ketchikan Emergency Manager Abner Hoag told the Borough Assembly on Monday that it can currently take as long as a week to get those results. But he says the BioFire Film Array Torch is designed to handle around 350 tests a day, 3.5 times the average daily demand in Ketchikan.
It just gives us the ability to get those tests quicker, to help those businesses, to get our community back to work, to ensure that we don't have spread, because we can test early, get results quickly. And if you only have a day to go around and spread this, as opposed to 4 or 5 or 6 days, we're much better positioned than we are otherwise.
The machine costs roughly $300,000. The assembly voted 6-1 to authorize spending the money, but there are a few things that need to happen before the machine is actually ordered and delivered. First of all, the city of Ketchikan would need to agree to the purchase. And there is some weight behind the borough's request. The borough has offered to pay for the cost of the testing machine itself. It'll likely be paid with federal aid money. But Hoag explained that the testing machine isn't the most expensive part of the equation. At current demand levels, Hoag estimated a six-month supply of test kits would cost approximately $2.5 million. That's about $500,000 more than it would cost to send the kits down south. But borough officials say the Federal Emergency Management Agency would reimburse the community for these costs. Speaking to the Assembly, Borough Mayor Rodney Dial framed the cost as an investment in Ketchikan's recovery.
If this generates economic activity in our community, that will pay tax revenue and will hopefully lessen the decisions that you have to make in the future on how you're going to address these budget deficits.
Business owners have testified in recent months that rapid testing would allow some tourists to visit Ketchikan and, of course, spend money. And it's not a new idea. A private company even once offered to purchase the testing machines on Ketchikan's behalf. But here's the thing. There are already at least three separate, incompatible types of testing machines in Ketchikan, platforms made by Abbott Labs, Cepheid, and Quigen. One assembly member asked Hoag why a new testing machine with its own proprietary cartridges was necessary now. Hoag replied that getting the testing materials for the machines already in town has proven difficult.
We're not ignoring that capacity. We cannot obtain enough Cepheid capacity reagent. We can't obtain enough Abbott ID Now reagent. And we can't obtain any Quiagen reagent for this.
BioFire, on the other hand, reportedly told Ketchikan officials that they would supply as much as the town needs.
They have told us that they will commit to supplying us up to the 351 per day that it can, that the machine can process, to maximize the use of the machine.
There are three labs in Ketchikan that could run the machine, Hoag said. It's not clear whether the city council would need to approve the purchase. Hoag told the assembly that company sales reps had assured him that the COVID-19 testing machine could be delivered 4 to 8 weeks after it's ordered. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
A new program from the FCC is giving tribes across the country the opportunity to claim licenses that would allow them to provide broadband to their communities. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more.
To understand what the 2.5 gigahertz spectrum is, Marielle Triggs suggests thinking about it like a radio signal.
You have AM radio, you have FM radio, and you have the 2.5 gigahertz band as well. And what's great about the 2.5 gigahertz band is its prime spectrum in order to broadcast internet.
Triggs is the CEO of MuralNet, a nonprofit tech company that helps tribal communities across the country with maintaining internet networks. In order to claim part of that spectrum, you need a license from the FCC. Starting in February this year, the agency opened a rural tribal window where tribes can apply for those licenses for free. If approved, they would control a section of the spectrum that falls on their tribal land. Triggs says that once a tribe has that license, they can begin to build their network.
So if you have access to the internet at one spot super fast, say the tribal government center or maybe the hospital or school or library, you can then broadcast that internet to the homes in the surrounding community pretty easily. It's put up a little bit of cellular equipment, which is off the shelf and pretty cheap, and then you just deliver the home units. Very much like a hotspot.
Triggs has done similar work with Lower 48 tribes, and she says the results speak for themselves. For example, a tribal college in Arizona recently used their spectrum access to help students and staff work remotely when the COVID-19 pandemic began to spread.
So it just took a couple of days for Diné College and Navajo Technical University to deploy their own networks and be able to connect their faculty, staff, and students off campus, which meant that they didn't have to come on campus and possibly get exposed, and they were able to continue classes.
Triggs says other uses for the spectrum include establishing a network to provide free internet access to tribal members or using a network to drive down the price of competing internet service providers. Several Alaska tribes have already applied for the FCC program, including the Yukon-Koyukon village of Ruby, about 230 miles west of Fairbanks. Ryan Lee Madros is the maintenance official for the village. He says the village intends to use their broadband spectrum to start their own network. He says the COVID-19 pandemic has shown how the spectrum could help with telehealth services.
Our tribal members can contact their doctors in town easier from home, and they don't have to go through a whole process of getting tested and flying back into Fairbanks and seeing their doctor, getting another test, and flying back out.
Triggs says that basic broadcast equipment runs for about $15,000, a drop in the bucket when compared to the millions of dollars that the licenses go for when auctioned off to internet service providers like GCI and AT&T.
Getting that proprietary, protected spectrum was the hard part, and the FCC is making it really easy right now.
By putting tribal governments in control of their own internet broadcasts, Triggs says it's like a new form of sovereignty.
You don't have to try to convince someone else to do what's right by your people. You get to decide yourself.
The application deadline for tribes to file with the FCC is August 3rd. After that, the broadband spectrum will be auctioned off by region. Triggs says tribes can go to tribal25.com for assistance on the application. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
This is KTOO News.